Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain can't be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It's set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. In just the same way, your light must shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In these days after Pentecost, it's very important for us to ponder this gift of God Most High, a gift even greater than Jesus, by Jesus' own words, and the practical reality that the Holy Spirit's supposed to have in our life. Today, Jesus describes the Christian vocation. He says that each of us is supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We can't be salt and light without the help of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness precisely to strengthen us to be both salt and light. Let's first examine what it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and then how the Holy Spirit helps us. There were three functions of salt in the ancient world. The first was as a preservative. There were no refrigerators. There was no ice in the Holy Land. The only way to preserve meat, for example, from going rancid, was to really pack it in salt. The only way to preserve fish was to pack it in salt. Similarly, we Christians are supposed to preserve the world from going into the sewer to prevent corruption. There are so many people who complain today, with some justification, that the world is getting worse and worse, that our culture is getting worse and worse, that our television programs are getting worse and worse, that our radio programs are getting worse and worse, then our neighborhoods are getting worse and worse. There's a reason for that. Because we haven't been salt. We haven't done our job adequately. It's not all our fault. But we've got, as a body, some share in that blame. Because we haven't really been that salt for our neighborhoods or for our families or for what's getting watched in our culture or listened to, etc. First function is to preserve from corruption. Second is to give flavor. That's what we still use salt for. We Christians are supposed to be the life of a really good party. You know, I wrote an article yesterday that'll appear in the Anchor about, I'm sure some of you have seen her, Sister Christina Scuccia, the singing nun in Italy, who's all over the internet, who just won their voice competition in Italy. You know, one of the things that I was pondering about, when you watch her sing and dance, even if she's singing the same songs that everybody else sings, she sings them in a different way. She even dances in a different way. She dances and she's having fun, but it's not with this type of sex appeal with which so many other chantresses will behave. She's entering into the world of popular music with a certain Christian flavor. And people, even people who would joke about themselves as the devil, couldn't get enough of her. Because she brought a certain flavor. She brought a joy that you can't fake. And people just wanted to continually listen to her sing. They wanted to see her joy dance in dancing. We Christians are supposed to be like that. When we walk into a room, we're not supposed to be the person who depresses everybody. We're not supposed to be the person who sets everybody else on edge as if we're going to criticize them for every minor infraction. We're supposed to be a person very much like my old rector in New York, Cardinal Dolan, who brings laughter into a room, who brings joy into a room, who brings Jesus into a room. Third function of salt is that it was a fire starter. It's the grossest thing I ever preach about over the course of the year. But you didn't have lighter fluid for the fires way back when. You didn't have a heck of a lot of easy things like Norman uses to light the candles before Mass. What you would have is you'd have dung, and you'd put salt in the dung. You couldn't light dung on fire, but when it was full of salt, the salt would catch on fire, and then once that pellet of salted dung caught, it could burn for hours. We're supposed to be a fire starter. That we're supposed to be able to be put into the dung of the world and light the world on fire, because we catch fire faster. The Holy Spirit helps us with these three functions. We can't do them on our own. We prayed in that sequence to the Holy Spirit on Sunday. Sana quades saucium. Cleanse whatever is filthy, whatever is dirty. The Holy Spirit does that first in us so that we can do it in others. We ask Him to fove quades rigidum and frigidum, to light on fire what in us can't be ignited, so that we can then go out as the starter wood for the world. We ask Him to fill us with His joy so that we can then go out and bring that joy to others. We will never be the salt of the earth except by the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's why God sends Him to us. The great grace, the great gift, so that we can fulfill this vocation in spades. It's the Holy Spirit that prevents our salt from losing its flavor and being cast out and trampled underfoot. But we need to allow that Holy Spirit to come within and to do His work to make us salt, to give us His courage so that we will be that salt. Second part of the vocation Jesus describes today is, you are the light of the world. We're supposed to illumine everybody. What are the two great functions of light? First is it helps people to see, and then second, it warms people. For us to be the light of the world, we need to do both. We need to reflect God's light so that people will see where they need to go, so that they're not walking in darkness, so that they're not like a plane in fog crash landing, but they can see the illuminated landing strip. That's what we're supposed to do. Second, we're supposed to warm the world, to warm it up, to give it the fire of God's love. Neither of these two tasks is within our human capacity alone. But we turned to the Lord, God, the giver of life, the Holy Spirit, and we asked Him on Sunday. And throughout the novena, praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, precisely for this light, we sang on Sunday, Veni Sancte Spiritus, emitte Caelitus, lucis tuae radium. Come, Holy Spirit, from your celestial home, fill us with your light divine. We sing a little later, O lux beatissima, reple cordis intima tuorum fidelium. O most blessed light, fill the hearts of your faithful with that light. We talk to Him, Veni, lumen, cordium, come, O you who are the light of the heart. And in the Veni Creator Spiritus that we sing, I think it's the most powerful verse I sing all year long. Accende lumen sensibus, light, fire up the light to our senses, all five of them. Infunde amorem cordibus, infuse into your light, your warmth into our hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, precisely so that we can burn with the light and the warmth of the light that comes from us from the Holy Spirit. We call Him an ignis, we call Him a flame, a fire. That's how He came down in the apostles that first Pentecost, is a tongue of fire to show us how we can become not just tongues of fire in the world, but people aflame, with tongues on fire, with eyes on fire, with ears on fire, with hands on fire, with feet on fire, with hearts on fire with the love of the Lord and the love of others. That's the way we're going to become salt and light. We've got two applications today, because we're going to be salt and light to the extent that we're living with God's love and we're sharing that with others. If we're not really loving others, if they're not being taken care of, they begin to look everywhere else than God. So the great preservative is charity. But also the greatest light is charity. That when we go out and we love those who others don't love, it converts people. It makes people sit up and take notice. There's absolutely no reason why every single one of us here in our own orbit can't be a Mother Teresa. No reason. Except our failure to correspond like she did to the help of the Holy Spirit. And if we all did that, imagine the reputation this parish would get. Imagine the reputation the church would get. In the first reading today, we see what happened with that widow of Zarephath, right? Elijah went to her. There was a total famine in the land because of a drought. Elijah asked her for a cup of water and asks her, kind of importunately, but he was testing her faith, to bake him a little piece of bread. She said, I've just got a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil left. I was going to cook something for my son and me, and then we were just going to wait death by starvation. And Elijah said, do it, and the Lord promises that that oil jug will not run dry, and you'll always have flour until he sends rain. She trusted. She was hospitable. She put God's interests in the preservation of the life of his prophet, even more important than her own life. She was totally charitable, even more important than her son's life. And that's exactly what happened. She lived for a year. Jesus talked about this parable in the gospel, this scene in the gospel. He said there were many people dying of famine, but Elijah was sent only to this widow of Zarephath. He said it when he was talking about his own fellow Nazarene's lack of hospitality to him. And he said, because she was charitable, she was saved. That the salt of her own family was precisely charity. That in preserving Elijah's life, she was preserving her son's and her own. What an unbelievable story. Cardinal Sean likes to tell a story from Japan, from one of their great novels. There were people down on a beach, and those up on the mountain saw from a distance that there was a tsunami coming. They could see the big wave. And so they were all talking about it, and just like, we got to warn the people down below that there's a tsunami coming. And some of the people left the mountain to run down to try to get them out of harm's way, and others stayed up above. And they went and they ran and they grabbed the people and they got them out just in the nick of time. And when they got to a higher land, they looked up to the top of the mountain where their houses were. And they were all on fire. And everyone who had stayed on the top of the mountain so that they wouldn't go down and save somebody else's life, they all died. Wow. It was only the people who went down to save others' lives, who preserved their own. That's what happened because of the charity of the widow of Zarephath. In giving her life for Elijah, that's the way she was saved. Jesus says, if you wish to save your life, lose it. Mm-hmm. But if you wish to save your life in this world, you'll lose it forever. That's charity. That's the way we become salt and light. We also see it with the great saint we celebrate today, Saint Landry, Bishop 650 in Paris. It was a plague. So what did he do? He built the first hospital there in Paris, which was called Hôtel Dieu, God's hotel, a place where God is welcomed. Because whenever we care for somebody who is ill, we're caring for Jesus directly. That hospital still exists today, 1,400 years later, because of the foundation St. Landry had given it. It was a great famine that hit Paris. St. Landry first sold all his own property in order to care for those who were starving. And then when that ran out, he started to sell the furniture of the church. He started to sell even the vessels. in order to care. And his charitable example was what converted so many of the Franks to the faith, because they recognized that there was something divine in the love he was showing. So it became the light, and it also became the salt, preserving so many lives. Where do we get strengthened by the Holy Spirit to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Here at the little Pentecost, which is called the Mass, as the Holy Spirit transforms bread and wine into Jesus himself, as he transforms us into one body, one spirit in Christ, he makes us capable of not losing our saltiness and not extinguishing our light, so that we can go out into the whole world and fulfill this purpose for which we were made. So today we reiterate what we said on Sunday and throughout that Novena. Come, Holy Spirit. Sana quatis saucium in nobis. Cleanse whatever has lost its flavor within us. Lumen reple cordibus. Fill with your light our hearts, so that we might go out and bring everybody the salt and the light and the love of Jesus. Praise be Jesus Christ. Now and